All right. Yeah, whenever you want, Mark.
Right, okay. All right, I'm going to go now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 542 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is September 1st, 2019, and we are a video gaming podcast with a slightly wiser, more mature theme to us, or at least we like to think. We broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and if you happen to live in the Central Time Zone, we're sorry, but 3 p.m. there. We are on Twitch, we're on Mixer, we're on YouTube, so just look for us. All you have to do is do a search for OC Podcast on one of those glorious channels, and you will find us live if you're lucky. Otherwise, you can watch a rehashed version of the show. My name is Greg DeLacy, OC underscore Murphy's Law, Murphy's Law on Xbox Live, and also to the greater podcasting population, I am also now known as Gavin, your driving instructor.
Or the dude from Red Dead 2.
Yes. On the show today.
Did he ever get found?
I don't know. I haven't got that far yet.
No. Gavin, outside of right here.
He's like Jason from fucking Heavy Rain, and you never find him.
Spinning the decks effortlessly with no problems whatsoever, Mr. Mark Wright.
Yes, I got the WD-40 out. I've cleaned all the rust off because I've not been on for a while. I've been a bit rusty. But yeah, I'm back after a few weeks. Three, maybe four, maybe five weeks. Can't remember. It's been a while. But yeah, I'm back. Fighting fit. Glad to be back.
Excellent, yes.
Better than ever.
Yeah.
Almost better than ever. on the show also, chiming in just now, very well done, Kim. Kim Woods on the podcast.
Howdy, that's me, GamerGirl27. That's Twitch, that's Twitter, that's Xbox, some variation on PlayStation, you know.
All right. And finally, rounding out this Baker's Dozen, we have Lucky 13, Mr. Pete Chin.
Hello, everyone. Also known as the Legit Chinny. You want to get me?
I get you. I get you, Pete.
Yeah.
And you know what I also get, Pete?
What?
I get that the fact that the beard is coming back. Fear the beard.
I'm going to shave tonight or tomorrow morning.
No, sorry. All right, okay.
When you come for AGX, I'll make sure I'm all rustly and ready for you to stroke it. Anyway, let's move on.
let's take this conversation elsewhere. Hey, you know what? Speaking of chins, not double chins, but the double mic chin, your body double, Pete, in some way. Mike Chin celebrating his birthday this upcoming week. So we wanted to pour out one for good old Mike. We're sorry to see you getting older, Mike, but it happens to all of us. So, Mike, this song just for you.
Oh, shit. Hang on.
Yes!
You caught me out there, you bastard. I don't even know what it is. Hang on.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Congratulations and celebration.
That's enough of that. And also, congratulations on his first wedding anniversary, which was a day or so ago. Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm going to get me on back now, Greg. I'm going to do a big close-up of your nostrils now.
Happy birthday, Pete. Sorry, Mike. Pete, Mike, aren't you guys twins? Anyway, also happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to my parents. They're going to be celebrating their anniversary tomorrow as well. I think it's like 1,000 years. They've been married forever. Longer than I've known them.
Do they still celebrate you or send each other cards? Or?
I think so.
Do they?
I mean, they're pretty – they're good buddies. They hang out a lot together. They do a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
They'll do the bickering, that kind of thing. But
my mom and dad never ever send each other cards like that. Valentine's Day or on their anniversary. They're just like, they're so old school. Just like, those type of cards wasn't around in their day when they
happy anniversary.
They
here's, just like, here's some toast.
Yeah, there's a pat on the back.
here's a cube of butter. Have fun.
Yeah.
All right. I suppose we could just roll into story time.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
I would like to point out, by the way, that I gave a lot of hints in lead up to the whole birthday thing. and somebody was not cluing in on it. He was just, you were enthralled by my story. Yeah. I get it. All right. Well, let's talk some story time. Let's talk about what's been going on with us for the past week. This is the non-video game related segment of the podcast. For those wondering, we do talk about things other than video games occasionally. What's been going on? Pete, I don't know what you have listed, if you have anything at all, so we're going to start with you.
Okay, well, I went to a festival last weekend called WV1 Fest. It's a non-residential, so you don't need to camp over. It's just in a local park in the city nearby, and there are about 2,000-3,000 people that turn up. It's called WV1 Fest. It's mainly rock-themed, so they're all cover bands. So they were bands like Deftones...
A music festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, not all festivals are music festivals. Just for the record, you can have beer and wine festivals. You can have garlic festivals. God rest those people that lost their lives. You can have pumpkin festivals. There are lots of festivals. Yeah, pumpkin.
That's not got overseas yet. Mark?
No.
Have you heard it?
No.
Yeah. No. Everything pumpkin ice cream, which is really good. Pumpkin spice muffins. I'm just saying, you're missing out. Anyway, continue on.
Yeah, so it's a rock music themed festival, not pumpkins, and it's really good. It's a very family orientated type get up in the day, and about 6:30-7 o'clock, you know, as the little critters get tired, the adults come out to play, and it was really good. There's loads of bands like the Deftones, Foo Fighters, Faith No More. I'm trying to think of others. Nirvana. Yeah, that's just your old...
Nirvana?
Yeah.
Wait, back the truck up. Did they hire a new singer that I never knew about?
No, they're all cover bands.
Tribute bands.
I missed this out. I missed that part. Cover bands. Okay. Gotcha. Nirvana. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, makes a lot more sense now.
And they were brilliant, you know, Nirvana. They were probably my favorite across the weekend. Maybe not the best Nirvana tribute band I've seen. There's a band that's actually touring the world now. It was started out in the UK and they was pretty small, but they're getting really big and they're touring the world. They're called Elvana, and they mix Elvis Presley and Nirvana. Yeah, exactly. By those faces, you're like, huh?
Okay.
Is that possible? Yeah. They can do it. They do some fantastic tunes. Yeah. So if you've ever if you've ever been into Nirvana and you like your Elvis and you want to see an amalgamation of the two, you got to check that band out, Elvana. But the festival, yeah, that was great. Really enjoyed it. Had too much to drink, probably. The other thing I've got up to is it was Mike's birthday party yesterday. So we went to Mike's house and we had a little gathering most of the time in the back garden outside. And it was really nice. Tara made a nice Mario-themed birthday cake. It was actually two cakes.
Yeah, he's had to accommodate all the candles.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's older than me. Yeah. It was like a Mario-themed type cake, and it was across two cakes, different platforms, and it was really well done. I liked it. It was class. So I think he had a good day. We had family rounds, some of his friends, one of his old friends as well. He'll probably be talking about this on the Vets tonight, but one of his old friends as well, Dean, he went to Florida with him, and they were, you know, they were everywhere together as young kids. And when they're about 15, 16, they're kind of, well, Dean kind of separated from him, went his own way and met up with different people and never really seen Mike, never had much to do with him. But they recently caught up And he turned up out of the blue, and to see him, you know, he was at our house, at my mum and dad's, like, all the time. And to see him, it was just so nice. So it was a real good gathering. We had a good time. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened at the...
How old officially is Mike?
He's 34.
Okay, because when I met Mike, I was misinformed. So I know we have the joke he's turning 42 in here. I was told he was turning 40, so I bought him a 40th birthday card.
Yeah. it's Pete's 40 next.
Yeah, I'm 40 this year. Yeah, November
the 1st. So you still use the same card, Greg. Just different person,
I'm
different
chin.
Reuse
it, scratch out Mike, put Pete. Yep.
There you go. Done. We're just 13.
It's not far from the EGX gathering as well, so I'm going to use that time, I think, to have a little bit of a celebration for myself, because I don't intend to do that much, but yeah, big 40.
Okay, big. I will be celebrated at the end of this month, my big day. Yes. It might have a 5 somewhere in it.
Better
just a number,
five.
Just a number.
Yeah.
Slightly higher, Pete. Slightly higher.
What are you going to do? Have you got any plans?
Going to the UK?
Yeah, it's coming here.
apart from that, we all know that. That's old news now. You can't make that big.
I kind of still can. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know what we're going to do on the birthday. I mean, the actual day will be probably low-key. Nothing crazy.
No.
But yeah. Anyway, well, I don't know why we're talking about birthdays anymore. Let's move on. Let's talk about Hobbs and Shaw. What's this nonsense?
Yeah, last weekend was a bank holiday weekend, so me and Jenny went away for a few days, booked a little guest house, and we got a few days away from everything, just me and Jenny. So we don't get that much time just us two together. And it was nice. We're not big drinkers, so on a night time we weren't always in the pub. So one night we went to the local cinema where we were, and we saw Hobbs and Shaw. And it's pretty good. I quite enjoyed it. I like the Fast and Furious series, although they have been getting more and more insane and over the top. But yeah, this is quite good. It was a lot of action, non-stop action all the way through. A lot of humour between The Rock and Jason Statham. I like Jason Statham. And I like Dwayne Johnson as well. So yeah, a good recipe for a good popcorn movie, really.
Do you know why that series has been getting better? Because they've got more Rock and less Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that's truth right there, people. That's truth.
Yeah, well...
Miss Paul Hunter, though.
Paul Walker was a star. The first sort of like 4 or 5 movies, Paul Walker made them movies. I totally agree with that, Pete. Yeah. But yeah, I do like a bit of Statham, so... Yeah, it was good. It was good fun.
So does Kim, by the way.
Talking about Statham and muscly men, Kim, you've got the new calendar.
Oh, yeah, September. Oh,
yes, let's see it. Who's on deck for September?
Can you
That's
see?
My picture.
It looks like a plastic Ken doll, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I'm not so impressed with this.
He's got a nice bit of pussy on him, doesn't he?
That's Mark and Rowan. I'm assuming Mark is the dude and Rowan's the cat, but you never know.
Could be wrong.
Get some of them sweets in his booth.
I liked your Facebook post about your options for your next year's calendar.
Oh yeah, I'm keeping tabs.
You killed one. Yeah.
We might put it to a vote.
Yeah, mailing kilts and all that stuff. Yeah. So I've just watched some trailer now. It just reminded me. Another guy who I really love, actor Idris Elba. He plays a bad guy in this.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant actor.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he plays a bad guy in this.
Luther.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that, Luther?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Superb. Yeah. Absolutely superb. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So that was good fun. Other TV stuff I'm watching. Watching a new. Well, not. I don't think it's new, but watching a series on Netflix called Money Heist. Just flicking through some of the series. It's actually a Spanish program. You can watch it in Spanish with English subtitles, or you can watch it in English dubbed. And it's about them robbing the Royal Mint of Spain. It's very clever. They've got a guy who's called the Professor who does all the back end stuff, who doesn't actually go into the bank. Kim, look, I only said back end. Right.
I'm not laughing at you. Don't worry.
Who doesn't like going into the back end?
And he's the brains behind it. They have all these sort of contingency plans in case things happen. And obviously, it doesn't always go to plan, but they have backup plans for backup plans. And it's really interesting and really enjoyed it. There's three seasons. So I've watched season one and two, which concentrates on the main heist. And then season three, it's like a separate story where it brings them all back together again, all the crew. And there's a season four in the works, so this is another like a two-part or two seasons for this story. So yeah, so if you like stuff like this, cops and robbers type thing, I highly recommend it.
All right, and breaking news, we have our first official vote against Men in Kilts. Thanks, Scott Stubby, for that. One vote against Men in Kilts. Yeah. Sick of them, yes. By the way, Pete, were you done talking? I think we just cut you off after the birthday talk, so...
I'll get used to it. Yeah. Just being the runt of the litter. You just fucking cut me off when you want to. I don't care.
Anyway, Mark, so let's keep going. No, seriously, Pete, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, it's fine. I love you, Greg.
All right. Okay.
I'm interested to find out what this second thing is on Greg's list.
So a couple things. Talking Money Heist, a new series. Well, it's not really a new series per se. I think it's been out for about a year, but it's a show called Yellowstone. It's with Kevin Costner plays one of the lead roles in it.
Yep.
It is a...
Isn't he dead?
No.
Kevin Costner.
No.
Kevin Costner, really?
Jesus, 13. Get with the program, man. Get your facts straight. No, Kevin Costner's not dead. alive and well. And it is quite a good series. It is, I think, a on-demand cable series only, so it's not on like actual network TV. It is quite vulgar. They have some moments of pretty gratuitous violence and some racy bits to it. But it is really good. It's about his, you know, he's basically kind of a modern day cowboy, so to speak, running a ranch in, I guess they're on an Indian reservation at the end of the day is kind of where they're at with this. But it is a fantastic series. Really enjoying it.
Yeah. And the writers of Sicario, which is a movie I love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he put his Robin Hood suit on?
No Robin Hood suits. No, but he plays...
What about his bodyguard outfit?
Pete.
There's a movie on...
Sorry, here. I've got to throw in these things. I've got to be random.
There's a movie on Netflix I want to see with him in and another old guy. Woody Harrelson, Highwayman.
Oh, my God.
Highwayman? You just say Woody.
Yeah. Got a Woody.
Yeah. Pete, he does have his Tatanka. anyway, so yeah, so that is well worth a watch. Yellowstone, it is, I think, in its second season now.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely give it a watch. Yeah, it is really good. It starts off pretty brutal too. I won't give it away, but it's like, whoa, okay,
this is going to be one of those. Brought back moment there.
Right? Sorry.
Did you watch 13? Netflix. Brian?
No, I actually got that on demand through our cable provider, but it might be on Netflix as well. But just give it a search. It could be on Prime even. God, there's so many different services these days. I'm just saying.
I know, right?
There's two new series just come out Friday. What I want to watch for, on Netflix is The Dark Crystal, the Jim Henson thing, and on Prime, you've mentioned it before, Greg, in the chat, and I didn't know until I saw a recent trailer. Carnival Row has just come out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cara
yeah,
Delevingne.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really good. Yeah. That's kind of a like a steampunk kind of setting, but it's got fantasy creatures in it.
Yeah, like fairies, it's got wings on there. So,
yeah. Looks really good.
Mm.
Kevin Costner just look old, though.
Well, newsflash, he is.
And we're all getting there.
Not as old as Annie does in the new Terminator movie.
Yeah.
Oh God! But
the way he looks in this, the shots you see of him, he just kind of looks like an ornery kind of like just angry cowboy kind of guy. He plays that perfectly.
No, he looks good.
Yeah,
I can't find anything local to us, Mark, where we can see this. So,
yeah.
Mark will have to find a secondary source that Mark is good at doing, and then he will pass it along to you.
Yeah.
VPN. We just had
a VPN.
VPN. NFL draft just hits. Not that you guys care about this, but armored wank ball for the win.
What was that?
That's Mark's description of American football.
No, don't put that on me. No, I got that from Fraser. That was Fraser's saying armored wank ball.
Now it all makes sense. Coming from the pacifist from the north.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, NFL football is in full effect.
Woohoo!
And I am excited. Sorry, there was a spider web literally sitting right there. It's like right in front of my face. Freaking me out. Okay, let's get to the big story.
Yeah.
The lawnmower. So we bought a lawnmower when we first moved into this house. Gas running mower. I think it was like a 149cc, 6 amp, whatever. I don't know. I don't know gas engines. So this is one of those things where, Mark, you're going to be like, Jesus Christ, Greg, come on. It's a simple fix. But for me, the thing was starting and stopping. I'm pretty sure it's either the fuel line or the carburetor. Something's going on there to where it's not getting enough fuel. But you know what? Fuck gas mowers. So I went out and I bought an electric mower. So Ryobi has a full lineup of tools that all use the same batteries. They're rechargeable batteries. And they happen to have a really well-regarded mower. So I picked one of those up so I can just inner swap out with battery packs, constantly having them charging. It's all good. So I'm a happy camper. And I'm going to give away this lawnmower for free because I could care less about it at this point. I don't know engines well enough to dive in to try and fix a fuel line issue or swap out the fuel filters. I'm just like, no. Mm-mm.
It depends how big your garden is. If it's not too big, then electric mowers are fine.
I'm not doing a quarter acre or anything. No, electric mower is going to be perfectly fine, and it doesn't have a cord, which is great. So you know,
you won't run it over.
Your mower on the stream?
No.
I was going to say they're great paving stones.
that's definitely not something you want to mow is paving stones. No. All right, last thing. So this past week we were on PUBG playing. Mark, I was talking with your nephews. Yeah. We were talking about weightlifting, and I talked about going to this class. It was called Body Pump. It was at our gym, and this it was like hour long. Think of it kind of like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Not really aerobics, but it was like using weights, but just constant repetition. But you're using lighter weights because you're doing a lot of reps.
I've done quite a few of these classes. They're good, aren't they?
Oh, kicked my ass. Yeah. And partly because I put too much, I was using too much weight because I didn't know what to expect. So I started off heavier and then I just like went through it. Well, I was destroyed after that class. Came, you know, after the class, my legs were shaking. I'm like, I am done. So next day I was a little sore, I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Yes, Mark. What are you looking at?
The guy on the stream. Did you see that guy there? You were picking that much weight up. He started bleeding from his nose and his ears and his eyes.
No, don't do that. So yesterday I take my son to the pool at our gym and we hung out. We had fun playing in the pool. But my son doesn't walk on his own. And so, you know, there's a lot of lifting and carrying of him. Also not helping is the fact that he loves being in the pool. And at our gym, they basically it's a big kind of recreational pool area. It's got slides and water fountains, that kind of thing. So every hour they make everybody get out of the pool for 5 minutes. They kind of check and make sure nobody's drowned in the pool, that kind of thing. And then they let everybody go back in. So, you know, it's a perfect time to go to the bathroom, whatever. But my son like refuses to get out of the pool. So he just becomes freaking dead weight. Like he just would plop down to the ground. I was like trying to make him stand up. He plops back down to the ground. And so I'm like trying to carry him out of the water. And this happened multiple times. By the end of dealing with him and his not wanting to get out of the water all throughout the afternoon, I got home and suddenly my biceps today are just on fire. Like painful, painful on fire. And I'm like, how did I get so sore? And I'm thinking maybe it was a class, but then I realized, no, it's my son, and having to pick him up constantly, and of course I was doing it all bicep. I wasn't trying to bend over and use my legs at all properly. Yeah.
He's a big lad now, isn't he?
I am sore, like right in the lower part of my bicep. Yeah. Both arms, just not happy. So yeah,
that's and I suppose just holding him out just in front of your chest, it's going to be pure bicep power and nothing else, isn't it? And they're going to be probably small curls when you're just moving him around, and it's going to be intense, isn't it, around your bicep? So
wow. Yeah. So. Needless to say, I have been taking aspirin. I have ice on my arms earlier. I mean, I'm just like, it is painful. Like, if I stretch my arms out, all the way extending them out, that's when it hurts.
Yeah.
It's not when they're like, contracted in. It's when I try to extend out. So, anyway.
As long as it doesn't affect your thumbs for the PUBG.
No.
You're all right.
No. This is perfectly fine. So, anyway. All right. That's it. Let's move on. Kim, did you want to talk about anything other than kittens and men?
Meh.
the wasn't much going on this week. I had to fight with my bank because they switched over to new computer systems and a new app, and, well, it wouldn't work for me. So after 2 days of calling the bank and trying to get them to figure it out, apparently they didn't, like, switch me over when they switched everybody else over. They apparently left me out, and they had to put me in the computer system. So that was fun. Other than that, I'm still working out. I lost a pound last week. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
After having a month of plateau and being between one and another, I finally lost one. So that was fun. But,
Do you do all your banking online?
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah. But what about you, Mark and Pete? Yeah. Do you guys bank online?
Yeah, big time.
Or
I'm on mobile.
Mobile app, online, on the computer, anything. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So much easier.
I agree. In fact, I pay all my bills that way.
Yep.
And me too.
I finally did the thumbprint scan. So instead of having to put my stupid password in every time. Yeah. Mm. Digital people, it's a thing. Go mobile.
And you about have to anymore, because trying to do it the old way, it's... You almost can't, because some places won't let you do it any other way.
Yeah, so. You find there's more barriers being put up, don't you? Or you've got those little handheld number pads where you have to insert the card into and you have to type in PIN numbers. Have you got those in the States or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just nuts. You might as well just use your phone. It's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Agree.
I don't even use my for contactless payments over here. You can spend up to £30 contactless on cards. I don't even use my card for that. I use my phone. I use Apple Pay. I have my card registered to it, and it's great, because then you're not at risk of your card being accidentally swiped. There's a big thing about putting your card in a RFID safe wallet now, but using Apple Pay, you have to actually activate it, so you don't have any of that issue. It's great. Mm-hmm. Nice. Pay for petrol, just click. Pay for your McDonald's, click. It's easy.
I'm not even going to comment on McDonald's. All right, we're moving on. Let's talk about games, Mark. Let's talk about games. You know, those things we like to play.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Yeah, a follow-up to the electronic pay, Scott Subby was saying all of their branches are shutting down, so he has no choice but to go digital.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little scary.
Yeah,
thinking about that. I like knowing I have a branch to go to.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk to somebody.
It's same as the post offices over here, but all the sort of like smaller ones are all getting shut down. You have to some people, like the older generation, who don't like using the technology, you have to travel miles now just to use a post office or a bank. It's not fair.
But the thing is, do your post offices? Sorry, go ahead, Pete.
Sorry, go on. You carry on.
Oh, I was going to say, do your post offices, do they do like Amazon deliveries as well?
Don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that was one of the things that really.
Oh, yes, to send stuff.
All right, our postal service did a big contract with Amazon. In that the U.S. Post Office will handle a lot of their deliveries, so that Amazon sends basically the packages through the U.S. Post Office, and I think it's more for kind of more rural, out of the way, or smaller packages. But I've noticed actually just recently a ton of Amazon Prime painted vans now.
Oh,
they have their own fleet of drivers delivering.
Oh, yeah.
Over here, well, in my area, anyway, anything I order from Amazon usually comes by an Amazon courier or a self-employed courier who drives for Amazon. It very rarely comes through our Royal Mail post. I thought you meant when you're returning stuff. You'd have to...
Yeah, a lot of ours are all self-employed folk driving their own cars and vans.
Paul Davey, Orty, he does that. He drives for Hermes, which is another company separate to that.
They're the ones that like catapult parcels through windows and like in the crazy play. They get like crazy complaints, don't they?
Yeah.
I believe it. I've spoken with Orty. I totally believe that.
But at least he can see now is that his eye corrected.
Talking about electronic
banks.
You see
where he's throwing the parcels.
Talking about electronic banking and stuff as well. I've got a check here, right? I don't know. It's only a small amount, but
can you hold it up the screen so I can scan it and then
check? What's a check? I haven't seen a check for years.
No, look, it's the bank. I can't even be asked to go and cash it.
So here the new thing here, and I'm assuming it's there as well, is you can take a picture of that check, Pete, and
send it to you.
So I could take a picture of that check, send it to the bank, and it will get cashed. I never have to step foot in the bank.
That is so my type of thing.
Yeah.
I really
wanted you to hold that up to the camera.
Sorry. Yeah.
Got it.
Scan away.
All right. Now we are going to move on. We're going to talk about games. Kim, why don't you walk us through all of the games that we have paid hard-earned money to get for free?
Don't mention the last one, though.
Don't mention the last one, whatever it is.
Okay.
I thought it was games you've played. I'm really sorry.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
No, these are the freebies. Last one?
Like a big list. Anyway, thanks for fucking me up there.
Anytime.
Okay.
All right. Games with gold for September are Hitman, the complete first season, available September 1st through the 30th on Xbox One. Of course. We Were Here, available September 16th through October 15th. Where? Earth Defense. How many of these did they make? Seriously. Earth Defense Force 2025, available now through the 15th. And Tekken Tag Tournament 2, available the 16th through the 30th. And those are backwards compatible, of course. I mean, honestly, there's like a Earth Defense like for every freaking year.
I have a prediction. Yeah. Mark is going to say he will play this game, and then he will be like, I remember it being better. I think he's done that with every Earth Defense title come out.
The first Earth Defense what came out on Games with Gold, I played, deleted, and the last three what have been on Games with Gold I've not even downloaded.
Yeah, same here. I'm just like, yeah, no.
Rose tinted glasses.
Well, they've made that many. They're 6 years in front.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got them. I'm gonna try this one.
You're gonna play that instead of Gears? Is that what you're saying?
No, not instead of. Just at a lull. Maybe it'll be late at night. Whatever. I'll fire it up, and then I'm just be like, Mark, this is a great game. And I'll get Mark to play it, and he's gonna be like, this is absolute shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Your PlayStation Plus games for September are, and which, in my opinion, these are far better than the Xbox ones. You won't hear me say that very often, but here we are. And these will be available on the 3rd. They are Batman, Arkham Knight, and Darksiders 3. Yay! Considering I have the other Darksiders, this is awesome. So,
yeah, I think that's a really solid lineup. I've played Batman, so I'm not really fussed about that anymore. But, I mean, the Darksiders 3 could be interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'll just have to interject here. Right, I'm playing the trailer for Earth Defense Force 2025. This is the one I played on 360. This is the one I liked. I will be playing this. This is the one I remember. This is a great game. I wondered why the other ones were shit. Yeah. Carry on.
Carry on.
All right. That's it.
Carried on. Yeah,
I have looked today.
We don't have the Twitch ones yet.
No, I had a look, and the current ones run until the 2nd of September, so I presume on the 3rd they'll announce it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So. I am curious as to the We Were Here game as to what that is. I've never heard of it, I'm assuming it's an indie title that's launching on Gold,
That's my guess.
Yeah, we'll see. Sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes that can be not such a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, speaking of things that are good and not so good, let's talk about the games we have been playing. So, Pete, I'm going to start with you because one of the games you have played is great. One of the games you have played is
Okay, so we'll start with the one that Greg has said is great. And that's Snooker 19.
Snooker 19, I knew you'd say that.
Incorrect.
So, my brother has been...
Oh, wait. Well, hold on. This is just for Mike Chin to hear. Snooker is a poor man's pool. Poor man's billiards. There you go. Oh,
shit. Listen, Greg, when we get to London, I'm going to see if we can find a Riley's Club. And I'm going to see if we can go and have a game of snooker because it might change your mind, especially when you play with me and Mike. Because
I'm sure I will have a blast. I love playing billiards. Don't get me wrong. I find it fun.
He's just upset two chins in one go there, hasn't it, Pete?
I know. I'm here for you.
Yeah. Anyway, so Greg's favorite game that I was talking about on the list is Snooker 19, and it is what it says on the tin. It's a snooker game. My brother's been streaming it every single Thursday. He plays six people every single week, and I thought to myself, okay, we've grew up with snooker from when we were kids, and we went
Can
to
you
a
say
local
it properly at least. Snooker.
You mean snooker?
Why can't Americans say snooker?
No, it's that's. I like a Seinfeld reference that I'm doing there. Anyway, go ahead.
Carry on. So we grew up with it from kids. My dad played this in the local workingmen's club. When we were just little kids, and we've really enjoyed it. We've played competitively. Mike more so. I got into pool then afterwards, and I ended up playing in a few leagues. As far as pool goes, and I think I enjoyed pool for being a short, fast-paced game. And Mike enjoyed the strategy and all the tactical element of snooker, which I enjoyed as well. But I kind of leant towards pool afterwards, but. I thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to try and load this game up, give it a few goes, and see if I can jump on one of Mike's streams when he's back from his holiday. So, yeah, I've just been playing a bit of snooker. It's difficult. I don't think the characters are designed that well. I think they could have been a little bit more polished and maybe different handshakes or something when they introduce themselves, when they come on just before they play the game. But as far as tactics, power, how you play the game, how you work the cue and how you position the balls, I think it's done really, really well. It's pretty difficult. My brother says, oh, you'll be okay with pro aim and blah, blah, blah. So I've played that and I haven't won a match. But I'm not far away. It's a good game. I like it. I'm never going to convince anybody over the sea probably to play this, but I don't know. For £20, you can't argue. I went to the smelly shop and the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the game didn't have a cover. They couldn't find the case anywhere, so they said that they'd sell it me for £20. So I just thought, do you know what? I'll have this. And a night with Mike Chin on Snooker 19 is due to arrive probably in the next 4 weeks, I'd say. I'll put some practice in.
That'd be good for an extra life as well, won't it? You better play it.
When is he going to be back, Pete?
He travels to you next Sunday.
Right.
And I believe he's away for, is it 10 days or a fortnight? I'm not 100% too sure. But yeah, I've got a few weeks practice yet before he's back in the UK, so yeah. He'll be a little bit rusty as well. Then going abroad and not being able to play, and I was saying that he's bought it on Switch, hasn't he?
Yeah,
Yeah, different experience though. I would also say get him right when he gets back from the US. Jet lag happening.
Yeah,
just catch him in the right moment.
I'll see what I can
Maybe
do.
Maybe slip him a Mickey.
So, yeah, that's pretty much snooker. It's good. The character I've picked is the ginger one. He's got a ginger beard and stuff. So, I thought
surprising.
Name McGill or something like that. Anyway,
McGinger.
McGinger. I've picked the ginger one anyway. So the next game I've been playing, which Greg hates, PUBG.
Totally. PUBG for life.
What can I say about this game? They've obviously polished it off now to a point where I don't think they could do any more modifications to this game. They just ought to leave it where it is. I'm still a little bit confused with the ammo change on some of the weapons. Is the Vector
using the caliber?
Vector uses 9
now. And Ump uses 45 now.
I don't know why they did that.
But the Ump has more kick now.
Yeah,
it does, yeah. I like the fact that it auto it auto equips the hand grips and some of the
get it to do that for me.
I was on
this afternoon with Phil and Jay at Filthy, that guy who we hardly see on this podcast, and he should be back next week.
He's got a lot of gear though.
I know Greg said that once you've got the weapon in your hand and you pick up a grip or a sight, it automatically puts it on that weapon. It's not doing it for me. Do I have to enable that?
I'm sure your nephew said that.
Ah, sure. Right, okay. That's why then.
But you have to have it equipped and you can't have something else in the slot. So if you say you have red dot sight and you come across a 4x sight, it will just put the 4x sight in your backpack. If you don't have a sight on your weapon, it'll auto put it onto it.
Yeah, I like that. Because I don't like the time that you've got between finding this stuff and moving on to somewhere else to equip them to your weapon. So when it auto attaches it, I think that's convenient. It's good for us old ones anyway that are not quick with the menus.
That's where my controller comes in, because I've got the Razer Wolverine, which is like the Elite, and it's got like two extra buttons at the top near the bumpers, and I've mapped one of them to the sort of like inventory button. I know it's only one button to the inventory, but you've got to move your thumb all the way across. Where is this? It's right. More instinctive.
Okay. Comments in the chat, as Mark can't get his hand grips equipped.
Important that we cover that.
But we had some good games, didn't we? The past few days.
We did.
Yeah. Did you see that kill that I did with that car 98?
Yeah, with no sight on.
That was just epic. So there was this, for the listeners, so there was this motorbike that was coming down the hill, and I think it was you, Mark, wasn't it? It said, there's a motorbike to the east that's coming down towards the village. And we seen it was no real threat to us, and it was going over its bumps and heading towards the city, obviously, to its teammates. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and have a pop at it. And everybody was trying to burst their machine guns and stuff at it, but it was going that fast, I don't think they could really hit it. And I've got this video anyway. It's recorded, and it's flying down towards the city, and it jumps off this little embankment. And I aim my weapon around this time and follow the motorbike, and I shoot, and I manage to just pop the person who's on the motorbike. And it was just the most incredible shot that I've ever done, I think.
I'm going to try and get it on stream.
Nice.
Oh, man, it was just...
By the way, for Hardly Dan in the chat group, WASD is ridiculous and not natural, and controllers for the win.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I will say this, Pete. I think they can still make some improvements to the game, mostly with the maps. I think the new redesigned Engrel map is fantastic. Really like the changes they did with that. And I noticed they did make some other changes on some of the other older maps. So I'm kind of hoping they'll still do some of these updates and kind of change it up a little bit here and there.
I don't think I've applied it enough to pick out the stuff on the maps. I don't know.
Engrel is a major change. They did a lot of upgrades to that. Changing around kind of how the locations look and feel, adding in different environments. trying to remember. There was one area in Engrol where you would go in, and originally it was like you turn left, and there was a bathroom there that was like, you know, open, and just you walked into it. It was like there was one toilet, and that was it. This time you go into it, and it's got like a whole bunch of stalls. And it's a different vibe, a different feel. They put a lot of work into it. And I appreciate the continuous upgrades they've done to this game.
So they changed the bathroom.
They changed the bathroom. I wouldn't pick up on that. Yeah. I wouldn't care. When I jump off that plane, I land on the ground. I don't give a shit whether there's a bath there or a cinema or a pizza place. I don't care what it is, right? All I'm bothered about is someone shooting my ass or hitting me with a frying pan.
Also true.
And that's all I care about. Minor aesthetic details, Greg.
I think we're playing PUBG after this, by the way.
There is one minor aesthetic detail which freaks me out now. They've started putting little dolls in the chairs in some of the bedrooms.
Oh,
and they're like the Annabelle dolls, and they are freaky.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. I've not even noticed that either. Yeah. He would have to come out and slap me around the face for me to notice something like that.
Pete, what do you notice?
Just bullets, Greg. Just bullets.
All right, fair enough.
Red dolls, yeah.
All right. Let's move on from PUBG. We can all agree, greatest game ever. Kim.
I know
this is the staples.
Yeah, the Trials and Red Dead 2. They're still there. And I've started playing Gears Pop, which I'm sorry, Mark, I forgot to mention that, but you know. So there is one new game this week, and I've been playing it pretty steady. So, you know.
What are your thoughts? I mean, is it to me? It's the perfect. I'm just kind of on the couch, maybe not necessarily engaged with what's on TV or somebody else is watching something I don't care about. And you just fire it off.
Pretty much, yeah. I played similar games to it before, and everybody's like, well, it's a strategy game. Well, I don't play it strategically at all, so I just kind of throw the little guys out there and hope like hell they make it to the other end and you know, win. But if not, no big deal. Because, I mean, I did pretty well when I first started, but then the longer it's went along and the higher I've gotten, it seems like I've lost more than I won. But I'm getting there, slow and steady by jerks, so...
This is where the strategy part would actually benefit you.
Probably, but...
I've got a question, actually, on this. Like, I've played a little bit of this. So, what's the strategy part? Because all I do is I see the pins there, and I just flick them up, and, oh, right, that's available. Right. Flick it on the board. Flick them up.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Here's the strategy element. Every pin or character has basically 3 to 4 characters they are good against. Right. That they're more effective against, and they have 3 or 4 that they are weaker against. So, as you see other enemies coming on screen, you should try and counter them with the characters that are going to be better against them versus ones that are going to be weaker against them. Because if, let's say, you have the swarm characters and they're weak against Marcus Fenix, and you see Marcus Fenix on the map, you shouldn't throw them out against him because they're going to lose and he'll just keep coming down. So that's where the strategy element comes into play.
So like if I throw a butcher out, what do you do then? That slow-moving big guy right down the middle.
Right, right. The butcher, there's going to be certain characters that are going to be more effective against the butcher. Also, certain types of grenades are going to be more effective against him.
Yeah.
I think the regular grenade is not as effective, but the ink grenade, I think, is effective against the
butcher. I think the ink grenade is better than the regular grenade, the frag. So it seems like, anyway. I keep getting my ass kicked by it anyhow. So, yeah, I don't know. And you're right. But the thing of it is, I got to go through there, and then I got to study all that. And I'm like, fuck it.
I know.
You know what? They're going to die. I'll just try another time, you know. My biggest thing is I get the little guys that there's, like, 2 of them or 3 of them. The shepherds and the little snub-nosed guys. I just, like, fling them suckers out there till there's, like, a big gang and hope like hell that, you know, they do their job.
Do you have an infinite supply of these dudes, then? Can you run out?
Yeah, so there's a little timer at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So you'll see it starts counting up. Yeah. So each one of your characters has a number associated with them. So let's say the shepherds are 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You have to wait till you get 3 bars full before they'll be available to pop.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you do have an infinite amount of them as long as you have credits, if you will, to give. And the credits constantly refill. Yep. But every time you select the shepherds and you throw them out there, it subtracts 3 from that line.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, so there's also a strategy of as you advance, you capture cover. Yeah. And as you capture cover, then you can launch your characters
front line
farther up
goes
the street.
Up, doesn't
right.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another important aspect is capturing that cover, and only certain characters capture the cover. Like the shepherds won't capture cover.
No.
The tanks won't capture cover. The Marcus mm-hmm. Phoenix, the Cole,
Baird,
the Grenadier from the Locust. Those guys will capture cover.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Pete is eating on the podcast.
He has been for a while now.
I know. He's eating.
Pom-pom bears.
Yeah. That's okay.
Pom bears.
Sorry. Yeah.
It was
up.
On mute.
I know.
You was talking Gears Pop. And oh my God, why are you playing this game, you bear? What are you nutters?
I don't like Gears. Awesome. So
God. What are you? Just finished Red Dead Redemption 2. Don't get playing Gears Pop.
I have been, damn it. Come on.
Pete, have you tried Gears Pop yet?
I don't give a shit about it.
Holy shit.
He's waiting for Halo Pop, Greg. That's where it is.
Come on, Pete.
I think I'm going to be sick about bongos,
Pete. Give it a try, Pete. Come on. Just try it. Just once.
No.
Once you pop, you can't stop. All right. Let's move on from Gears Pop. Mark, I will go next. We'll save yours for the finale. How's that?
Right.
All right. So I started playing a couple games off of Game Pass. We already covered PUBG. So Human Fall Flat was the first game I started playing.
This reminds me of that Gang Beasts. Robin.
It is a platform puzzler. That is exactly what this game is. You play this little character that is a human that seems to have very wobbly stature about them. You guide your little character through the map. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Octoman, where you couldn't really walk straight and evenly.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're drunk the entire time as you're trying to walk.
Like a drunken kung fu character.
Yeah. And so there's some interesting mechanics. So the right and left trigger both are associated with your right and left arms. So you pull the right trigger in, he sticks his right arm out. You pull the left trigger in, sticks the left arm out. You can use that to activate buttons, but you can also use it for actually climbing up things. So you point your look upwards, and he raises his arms up in the air. And so you run up to a ledge, and you jump, and as you jump to the ledge, you look down, and he lowers his arms down, and he catches the ledge, and then the more you look down, the more he raises himself up. It sounds complicated. Once you start doing it, it actually feels pretty natural. and so this is how you get through these puzzles, is you climb and clamber around things. You're pulling things, readjusting them to activate a switch, that kind of thing. It's all about getting to the next exit. And the next exit, you walk through the exit and you fall down to another world.
It looks like we're doing the conga there, look.
Yeah. It's a cute little game. And the puzzles can be really challenging. Like right now, I started a puzzle that I cheated and I kind of went the wrong way. And it gave me an achievement for going the wrong way. But it's such a big puzzle, I'm completely lost on where I need to go now. So I think I need to restart it and go from scratch. But I mean, it's really ingenious, because if you start thinking about certain things and like, I wonder if that'll work, it might. So like there was a fire extinguisher on the ground and there was this big glass window, and I was picking up the fire extinguisher, and I mean, the guy could barely hold it over his head, but I managed to swing the fire extinguisher with a little bit of momentum, broke through the window, and I was able to climb through the window and get to the next area. So things like that. I was trying to build a pile of rubble so I could clamber up and then take a piece of rubble and use that to push down a button to open up a door.
Yeah, on stream now, we're putting a box on a pad to open a door.
Yeah.
But it's not that easy to put a box on a pad by the look of it.
No, it is not. But it is a really, it's a fun game. If you like puzzle games like this, I would say definitely give it a try. It is on Game Pass. I know it's on pretty much every platform out there as well, so I think it's been out for a little while. So Human Fall Flat, I do give it a good thumbs up, you know, for when you're just wanting to do something different. And then Bard's Tale 4.
Yes.
So this, I haven't had a lot of time with it, mind you. I just downloaded it Friday night, fired it up. Visually, it's okay. Not like going to blow your socks off, like, oh, this is the greatest visual game I've ever seen. But for a Bard's Tale game, it looks fantastic. Bard's Tale is a very traditional, old school RPG. You know, it's the first person view, walking around. You know, you've got your party of characters that all kind of share the same screen with you, so you don't see your party until you get into combat. It has puzzles in it. What's interesting about this particular version, I don't know if this is in previous versions or not, but in the options they give you, you get to kind of, you know, the normal difficulty levels, but then they also give you skippable. That was really hard.
It's easy for you to say, Greg.
I know. Mm-hmm. Skippable puzzles, which I thought was interesting. So I haven't come across a puzzle yet, so I don't know how difficult they are, but if they are really tough, then I'm going to skip through those. It harkens back to old school Might and Magic dungeon crawling RPG games. So, you know, if you'd like that kind of game, I think this might be one that strikes a chord with you. I haven't really played enough of it yet to say if it's great or not. But so far, so good. So.
Cool. That's what I was interested to know, because I saw a lot of reviews that said it sucked. So I figured since you actually played it.
I think it's because it is such an old school RPG. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a modern RPG. You're not seeing your character on screen. You know, you're equipping things. It's really inventory management. It's not going to be a visual, you know, representation. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm comparing this to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Odyssey blows this out of the water in every way possible. But, you know, this is also a little bit different type of game. So, yeah.
Cool. Then I will keep it downloaded then.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to try and play it and see, you know, how I get on with it. It may be that I end up hating it, and I'll report on it next week. How's that?
Sounds
good. Is that fair? Yeah. Mark, what about you?
So I've just been still plodding along with Ghost Recon Wildlands. I did sort of like put some polls and questions out what you covered for me about the length of games, because this is what sparked it off for me, how long this game is. I don't know how many hours I got into it. I think I've got about 65 hours into it now, I'm nearly done. Can't find the video for it. I'm nearly done now because I've started unlocking the achievements for completing the smuggling operations, the deception operations, and everything. So I'm finally starting to wrap things up. I've finally got a cutscene which features the big cartel boss. And I can take him on now if I want to. Earlier, I can finish all the other missions, which I probably might as well do now. So I'm nearly there. I can feel it. It's so close. There's a few missions which absolutely piss me off, if I'm honest. And they're the ones where you cannot get spotted.
Oh, yeah. I feel your pain there.
Yeah. These are in
fail state missions suck.
Yeah. These are in the maximum difficult setting areas with not the cartel but the Unidad ones, and they come on you like a ton of bricks. They've got helicopters circling all the time and everything, and it's an absolute nightmare when you have to do a mission where you have to retrieve an item or a person or something and not get spotted. The one I have to do at the moment, I can get into the compound because you can drop down at the back of it, but you can't get out without going in a vehicle because the gates won't open. And I take one of their trucks, and the gate's open for me, and I get to the second gate, and then they just spot me in the truck. I had a quick look online on a YouTube video, and someone suggested stealing a truck and using a truck to go in and then using the same truck to go out, so I don't know how that's going to work, but I need to give that a try. But yeah, this one mission's just been doing my crust in lately. But yeah. I'm so close, I can feel it. I can feel the victory achieved coming along. So I'll be glad to, because I want to get this done before Breakpoint comes out.
Right. I need to jump back into that game. Yeah. There's so many games on my backlog.
Oh, God, tell me about it.
I don't want to talk about it. It makes my skin itch.
I just today, actually, I thought I'll go on for a few games or something this afternoon. And I looked at the dashboard, and it said games installed. I think it was 147 games available. It was something stupid like 500 and something. I think that's
wow.
I think that's because of Game Pass now. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what do I pick? And then I turned it off and I went on the PS4 because I couldn't choose. Which brings me nicely onto my next game I've played.
Real quickly, Mark. Sarah says she loves the stealth missions.
Oh God!
What?
So
I like the stealth missions.
A glutton for punishment,
right?
So.
I do like going in stealthy in this game, and I love all my weapons are silenced. I love a sniper in this, and I've got the ARC with a suppressor on for sort of like medium range stuff, and I do like taking down enemies secret in sort of like stealth. It's the ones where you can't get spotted.
Sometimes
it isn't your fault. And that's the ones that piss me off.
That's why I can't play very many Ghost Recon games. Because, they give me gamer rage for shit like that. Because I'm like, what happened? Did I fart or something? How the fuck did I get spotted? You know, did an ant, sneeze? Oh, what the hell? Man.
Right, so last night I was playing it. There was a mission where you had to... there was this sort of like cardinal, and it was... preaching to sort of like the cartel followers and everything, but you had information that he was a bit of a naughty boy, a bit of a like you do with priesthood. I won't say anymore. So you have to sabotage his sermon to his masses.
Fake news.
Yeah, you have to sabotage his sermon by replacing the video feed, and then he tries doing a runner, and you have to kidnap him while being shot at by hundreds of these bloody enemies, cartel enemies. I finally got him away from the area, right? And I was going to put him in a vehicle to sort of like take him to the extraction point. And just a random NPC run me over and run the cardinal over, killed him, and I had to do it all over again.
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry. At that point, I would go to the home screen. I would press start and then click uninstall.
It took me about 10 minutes to infiltrate this area stealthily.
Oh no.
Upload this video, and then you can go batshit crazy and shoot anyone you want. And I got this cardinal out of the compound, and I got fucking run over.
Oh God!
Well, that's what get for walking in the middle of the street.
Yeah, I know. It's bloody Billy
jaywalking.
Yeah. So the other game I've played, and I've played this over the last like three weeks now, on and off. But with me not being off on, I've not really talked about it. But I know this is one Pete's played, and this is a PlayStation 4 exclusive. It was on PS Plus, and it is Detroit Become Human.
Oh.
And the moment I started this up and I saw the menu screen and how they did the menu, I was blown away. Graphically, it is absolutely stunning. Yeah. The menu is a woman droid who is beautiful. And she explains how things work, and she like talks to you as if you're really there, sort of thing. She knows you're there. It's very clever how we've done it. But when you get into the game, you control quite a few different characters. They're all sort of like androids. The storyline in it is quite interesting.
I don't know about that.
No, it is honestly. I have played Heavy Rain. And I've not finished it, so it didn't grab me. I've looked at Beyond Two Souls. I've not really played it. And this is by the same people, David Cage's thing.
Here's what I take exception to the game. Is he's talking about how he wants to rebel. It's a droid rebellion, if you will. They want their freedom. They want to be recognized as their own. And he has
they become sentient.
Disc.
Yeah.
Right. He has this little disc on the side of his head that signifies that he's a droid.
Yeah.
And
I know what you're gonna say.
Is just remove the disc, which he does. And it's like, well, if it's that freaking easy, then what? There's no point. That it like defeats the whole thing about, I don't know.
But they had to develop a personality and they had to develop feelings to get to that point where they say, I don't want to be this slave no more.
It's quite engrossing, Greg. I'm really enjoying this. It's really good with some good storylines.
I'm taking the piss right now. I'm just having a little fun with you.
But yeah, it's graphically it's beautiful. The gameplay, it's simple gameplay. It's your typical Quantic Dreams, where it's a lot of it is quick time, or you'll like to operate a door or something, you'd have to move a stick and then into a motion. But there's always a prompt telling you how to do it. But it's the story part of it which is quite engaging. So yeah, I've been keeping Pete up to date on which part of the story I'm at on that. But yeah, really enjoying it.
There's so many turns you can take on this game. It's unreal, isn't it?
This game does have branching paths, and I had that today. I had a split decision whether to shoot or to talk someone down, and I panicked because I thought my character and my character's partner was in danger, so I shot. And after I shot, I felt really guilty because the effects of it afterwards. It was in the blue-haired sex doll one, Pete, if you remember that bit.
Yeah.
So I shot her. Well, not her, but yeah.
Have you got past the part where it involves the woman who's in the menu?
Yeah. What? No. Oh no! Okay. Oh, yeah, the woman in the menu. Did you meet her, do you?
Yeah.
Oh no, I've got that. No. And I've just done that bit where the guy there's a guy murdered in the like a sex shop thing. So I've just done that mission.
That's right. Yeah, there's two women.
Yeah. And these robots had fallen in love.
Quality.
Yeah, but yeah, I think I chose her. What did you do, Pete? Did you talk her down or did you shoot her?
No, I just blew her away.
All right, so I'm not alone then.
Well done. Well done.
So the next mission I'm on now, which I haven't finished yet, is where we're in the snow trying to get to the border now with Kara and that big dude.
The big unit.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really interesting, Greg. I know a lot of people criticise the David Cage games.
Have you played it, Greg?
I think people criticise David Cage. Not so much his games, per se, but it's more the criticism of David Cage and a lot of the shenanigans that have gone on at Quantic Dreams, unfortunately.
Yeah. After obviously I've played Heavy Rain in the past, this is way above that. The bar has been set with this now. It's miles better than Heavy Rain, in my view, anyway. I really enjoying it. I think
they brought Detroit Become Human out to PC, or they're planning to, one of the two. I know they're going multi-platform.
Well, I know they're going multi-platform now, from now on, yeah. Yeah, really enjoying it. So if you got this on PS Plus, you've not to lose. It's really interesting.
Have you guys played this, Greg, Kim?
No, I haven't.
No.
Oh, okay.
You got this on, Kim, didn't you, on PS Plus?
I do have one more game to talk about, though.
Yep. I got it.
I almost completely forgot. This is The Police 2. Need to talk about this.
Right.
Uh-oh.
What's it called?
This is The Police 2. So this is a sequel. Obviously, and the two part. I don't know how to describe this game. It is a mishmash of a lot of different genres. It's kind of, at the end of the day, it's like a police department simulator. It doesn't, the graphic styling of it, I'm trying to think.
It's isometric, looking down sort of thing.
At times, right, yes.
Yeah,
you are.
Corrupt cops in a Fargo-like XCOM adventure. That's a description of a YouTube video.
Yeah. It has XCOM components to it in that you will every once in a while have to go in and control your police force as you're taking on a certain mission. But it's also about managing your police department. That's the best way I can describe it. It is not a fast-paced game. It is actually a much slower game than even XCOM, which I know should, and rightfully so, probably turn off a lot of people to it. You're following the story of a main character, Nash, who is a former police chief. I don't honestly know completely where the story is going. He's hiding from something. He comes to this new town. He's helping out the new interim police chief to manage the police force. There's some leaps of faith and how they get to this part. I find kind of pretty much ridiculous because it would never happen that way. But needless to say, you are kind of in charge of a set squad within the police department. There's the police chief or interim police chief Lily, who also has her department. And so you have your officers on your squad. You will do certain things and manage them and allow them to take time off or tell them no, they can't take time off, that you need them to be working. Certain things that you do will affect some of the police on in your squad, and they will become rebellious to you. So they represent that by the different officers either wearing their police uniform hats or not. So if they don't have a hat on, you know that they are not, in a sense, kind of an allegiance to you. And what ends up happening is officers that are not in allegiance to you sometimes will refuse to go on calls if they don't have backup. They will just do what they want to do when it comes time. So if you have them on your squad as you're going to, say, infiltrate a drug bust, they will just – you can't control them. They run off and do their own thing. And so you have your characters you're controlling during the turn-based stuff. But then these random, you know, cops that are – they're not going to listen to your orders. They just go and do their own police work, you know, within the setting, which can be a benefit. Or it can hurt you because maybe you're trying to go in stealthily at first and they just go in all, you know, guns blazing and set the whole thing off, you know, going crazy. It is if you lose officers, they stay dead, you know, and it's interesting because you'll have a funeral for them and you have to decide whether you fund the funeral or you just let them be buried. And you'll have officers that want to attend their funeral and you have to, you know, say yes or no to attending the funeral. And if you tell them no, that may affect their camaraderie with you. So there's something about this game, though. I've been enjoying it. Right. Even though everything about this game, it doesn't do any one thing great. Like the story and the cutscenes, they're well voice acted, but they're a little over the top at times. And the story itself isn't quite gelling with me yet. And then the managing of the police officers, I mean, literally you're just looking at a map of the police city and you're seeing calls come in that are like 911 calls, and you have to assign officers to go out and react to those. And all you're doing is you're assigning the cops and then they automatically go out and then they come back either successfully or unsuccessfully. When they get to a call, it'll be one of two things. It'll be a false alarm, which means there's no action taken and they just return to the police department. But sometimes you'll be faced with a scenario. Say there's a woman, you know, went into the post office and got really upset about postage rates and she started beating up the postal worker. And so your officers come to the scene and they give you three choices: shoot her, tase her, or tell her to stop. And, you know, and I'm making those up, but I mean, that can be the kind of scenario. You pick one of those, and depending upon what you pick, it may have a follow-up situation of, you know, you yell stop, she looks up at you, and then grabs a knife. What do you do? And then you'll get another set of choices to make. Other times it'll be like you pick the right one, and, you know, you arrest the suspect without incident. Sometimes you make the wrong choice, the suspect gets away, and that goes against you. At the end of each day, there's kind of a shift tally of how many arrests you made, how well you did versus how poorly you did. And because you only have a set amount of cops during a shift, calls start coming in faster than you can answer them. So you have to start pick and choose how you respond to the calls. Anyway, so that's in a nutshell. I mean, it's very unique. I haven't played a game like this before. Mm. It also, like I said, it doesn't do anything great, but it does everything pretty well, and just the combination of it all, it just has its hooks in me somehow. And I just sit there, and my wife is like, "Isn't that boring?" And I'm like, "It is, but it's not." I mean, I get caught up in trying to assign the right officers to go out on the calls. You know, Do you say, because you have a point value that you have to reach. So depending upon the call type, it may be you need to have officers with 300 experience, or you have to have officers with 650 experience. So the more experienced your officers are, the more often they can go out with just one or two of them. But if you start getting a bunch of junior officers in, you need to send more of them together because their combined scores will add up. Hopefully that made sense. So if you think about it, if you know all four of us had point values associated, so Mark, you had 100, Pete had 200, Kim had 300, and I had 50. If the call came in said that it needed to be 600 points, I could go on the call with all four of you, but you wouldn't be able to put me, Kim, and Pete together to go on the call. You'd have to be at least 600 points worth of police officers to go on the call. Yeah. Anyway, it sounds probably more complicated than I'm making it out to be. But at the end of the day, it's an interesting game. It was on sale, so I took a chance on it. The XCOM aspect of it is what got me to take a chance on it. I freely admit that. But it turned out to be so much more than what I bargained for. So,
while you're on about turn-based combat games, while I was off a few weeks on the off the podcast, I finished Mutant Year Zero.
Yes.
The turn-based thing, which is a bit XCOM-y, but there's a bit more exploration. Finally finished that and thought that was really good. Really enjoyed that. There was a mission not far from the end which was whooping my ass for a bit until I'd leveled up a bit more. It had a lot of mechanized enemies, and it was knowing which ones down to take down first before they alerted them. I realized at the end the ability, I forgot what it's called now, where you electrocute them and it disables them for a few turns.
Right.
And also the EMP grenades, they were key to that mission. And I finally did it. It was such a good feeling when I finally did it. Because there's some massive mechs, and then if they target you, if you don't get out of the way, they will devastate you. And even the little flying ones, they shoot rockets at you, and they do a lot of damage. So, really enjoyed that.
That was a surprisingly tough game.
Yeah. And I played it on the sort of like the easy mode as well. Yeah. So after each battle, it'd automatically replenish my ammo and reload and my health. Whereas you guys, like you and Phil, played it on the harder one, didn't you, where you didn't get that? So, yeah, really good.
Great.
And it's coming off Game Pass soon as well, so you need to play it quick if you've got Game Pass.
Just one question about that. This is Police 2. Is it a strategy game?
I would definitely consider it a strategy game.
Yeah. Peace out. Absolutely. I thought you'd say that.
Peace out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having said that, he likes snooker.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. He does like strategy. Come on.
Snooker's a sport.
You have to be an athlete.
All right. Let us move on. Mark, do we have a quiz this week or no?
We do, yeah. I've done a quiz, yeah. All right. Yeah. Sorry, we've not had a quiz for ages. And it's not all my fault because when Greg was hosting, he didn't really want to run a quiz. And then there was only two of them.
Wait a minute.
Right under the bus.
Let's go back to the story. I'm feeling a bit poorly right now. So, I mean, if you want, I can do a quiz for you. But I'm not going to make the show. That was the, you know, so am I going to be like, no, yeah, you need to make a quiz. Come on, suck it up.
Yeah. Right.
No. Yeah.
I did try to play
in a nutshell, it is your fault.
Yeah, well, according to Robin, #AMF.
Fucking so. Pete fired and Mark almost fired. You're that close.
Right, look, I'm playing the jingle over you because I've had enough now. Right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
What's that noise?
Right,
sorry, with me.
Someone's adding something there. Right, we're doing something a little bit different this week because you can earn double points. So, What's That Noise audio quiz. Each week, you will hear three different audio clips, and you have to guess what game they're from. Now, before, I just gave you a multiple choice option, but we're going to have a little bit of difference here. If you can name that without any multiple choice, you will get double points. But because, obviously, you can't just type it in there and give it the game away, if you get your phones ready, you've got to WhatsApp me the answer if you know the answer without any clues. So I'll give you that option first.
I'm too busy making names up for people.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I gotta WhatsApp you privately if I have the answer without clues.
Without multiple choice, and you get double points. You get 2 points.
So that means I have to have WhatsApp up on my computer.
Or your phone.
I can type that fast.
That's the only way I can think of how you can tell me the answer without giving it away. Because then if the other people can't get it, they'll get the multiple choice.
I think this is a bunch of horseshit.
It's easy in my head. It sounds easy in my head.
Famous last words. All right, I'm ready.
Right, you ready for the first one?
Yes.
Right, these are quite short sound clips this week because these are all insults, video game insults, and you have to tell me what game they are from. And I think they're quite easy, but I always say that. Right, so here's your first one.
I always say that.
Yeah.
Round one.
You're right, dickbag. Oi, twatface. I can see you, dickwad. Spock you, fuckface.
Right, you've got a short period of time where you can text me.
I've sent it. It's in your inbox. WhatsApp. It's got to be there.
Kevin, do you want multiple choice or are you going to guess? Oh, here we go, right. So we've got three different answers there. Right. I ain't worked this far out in front, right? So if you get it wrong,
another mistake.
Yeah, if you get it wrong, do you still get the multiple choice?
Why not?
All three of us got it wrong.
Right, okay, yeah, you're right, okay. So, right, okay. Oh yeah, no, this works out well. No, my plan is going to plan. Right, so your options are A, Rebel Galaxy. B, Void Bastards. C, Starpoint Gemini 2. Or D, Elite Dangerous. Now you can't change your answer now, Greg.
Can we hear the audio again, please?
Yep.
Round one.
You're right, dickbag. Oi, twatface. I can see you, dickwad. Spock you, fuckface.
Hey,
twat face. So is that Rebel Galaxy, B, Void Bastards, C, Starpoint Gemini 2, or D, Elite Dangerous? Greg's texted me his answer.
Clarified my answer, yes.
Mine was wrong, so yeah.
Yeah, but you can choose one of them options now, Kim, for 1 point.
Right, and we still send that to you via WhatsApp, correct?
You can do it, or you can put it in the show notes. The multiple choice bit doesn't matter.
Yeah, because they sounded like the little gnome dudes from Fable 2. I thought it was Fable 2. Remember, you went to a spot where there was like the little gnome things you end up killing, and they sounded just like that, and they cussed at you and everything. So that's what I thought.
I think the private
sending it to you via WhatsApp is better. This way, people can't cheat and see my answer.
Yeah. Dan just sent me an answer. Dan is correct.
Petty with this.
Right, come on, Kim. Send me an answer. A, B, C, or D.
I just did on the show notes.
I'm looking at two different things here. Greg says text him. Right. So, Kim says Rebel Galaxy.
I said A.
Yeah. Kim says Rebel Galaxy, which is wrong. And Pete and Greg have both said Void Bastards, which is correct. But Pete gets 2 points because Pete got it without the multiple choice.
That was my next guess, but nah.
Right, I need to keep track of this. So, Pete, 2 points. Greg, 1 point. Kim, zero.
I'm still ahead, so I don't care.
Yeah. So, right, now we've ironed out with teething troubles, it works, does that, doesn't it?
All right.
Right, so yes, Void Bastards. Right, so are you ready for insult number two?
Yes.
Round two.
You want to kill me? You can't kill me. I'm 1,200 years old.
You don't look a day over 12,000.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Wow.
Oh, I know this one. That was my mother.
Oh, she's 10 points for Kim. Right.
It was. That was my mother.
So, give me a guess for double points. I've got an answer from Greg.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm right or not. That's a stab.
That's funny.
You have to read our answer. Oh,
jeez. Right. Oh, right. Might have to do some half points here. Adley Dan's got it spot on. Right, so your options are A, Final Fantasy 15, B, Dante's Inferno, C, DMC Definitive Edition, or D, Monster Hunter World.
Shit. Oh, well, can you say them again?
Final Fantasy 15 is A, B, Dante's Inferno, C, DMC, which is Devil May Cry Definitive Edition, or D, Monster Hunter World.
Oh, I'm going to go for that.
Right, and you've all said C, DMC, Definitive Edition, and you are all correct. Now, Greg and Kim were so close because Kim put Devil May Cry 4 and Greg put Devil May Cry 5, but it wasn't the numbered ones, it was the DMC.
Definitive Edition?
Yeah. So close. I feel like I need to give you an extra half point for that, but I'm not going to. So
we at least got the series right. Cause
yeah, you did, yeah.
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 My answer was the best.
Yeah, oh yeah, Pete put The Exorcist.
No, I still say mine was the best. It was my mother. And
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, Kim gets a...
Fair enough.
Plus 10,000 points.
But she could have been an exorcist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hardly Dan put Devil May Cry, which is spot on. So well done, Dan.
Right. No, but he didn't say Definitive Edition, so no.
Well, it's just called DMC, isn't it?
You did say Definitive Edition, I'm just saying.
All right, well...
Yeah,
All right, let's go.
Right, you ready for insult number three? You ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Final round.
Help us get an evac off world!
Yeah! Go fuck yourself! You shitpiles give chase, I will kill your dicks!
What? What does that even mean? You're gonna kill my dick? Well, I'll kill your dick! How about that, huh?
I knew Kim would like this one, and I didn't do it to help Kim.
I can't think of the name of it.
Holy dick tits.
I'm lost.
Oh, Kim's giving clues away here.
Well, they still can't figure it out, so there you go.
Well, if you haven't played it, it doesn't help, does it?
It's an awesome game.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Can you just WhatsApp me so I can have a point?
Wait, hold on. You know I know it, Mark.
Yeah,
based on what I just threw
Epic
in there.
Epic games.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play this for Pete and Greg.
All right.
So I need your answers after three. Three.
That was a dick move, Robin. That was a dick move.
Are you not having a guess, Pete? Are you just going to wait for the multiple choice?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to wait. Yeah. It sounds like an episode of Coronation Street.
Hardly Dan knows his stuff. Hardly Dan's got it spot on again. Right, so your options are A, Bulletstorm, B, Gears of War, C, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, or D, Borderlands 2.
What was the first one again?
Bulletstorm.
I'm going to go for that because Gears Kim was crazy about that game.
Yeah, it is Bulletstorm. I couldn't think of the stupid name of it. It's from Epic Games.
Yeah.
It's Bulletstorm.
Yeah, yep. Dick tits, you're right. It's Bulletstorm.
Give it away.
So, well done to Kim, gets the two-pointer on that one.
Yeah.
For getting it first off.
Do I get half a point for Epic Games? Come
he
on.
Gets
no, I
an extra...
I don't. I'm
Greg
begging for points now.
It's not very becoming.
So I've got 3 points altogether.
What was that?
No.
What about my Alexa, then? Jesus Christ. Me, Alexa just responded to me then. She almost like dick tits.
By the way, don't search for that on the internet.
No.
surprisingly does not give you the name of the game.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so well done, guys.
All
right. Are you updating the points, Mark, or do we need to do this for ourselves?
No.
I just got 10.
No, Greg, you got 3 points. So you can add yours on.
Right.
Kim got...
Same.
I've done this wrong. Kim got 2 points.
Wait, didn't I get a point for the last one?
I don't know. I think I've cocked this up.
She did.
Yeah. So that's 3 points. So you got two for the last one. Yeah. And I've lost track of Pete's now. I've fucked up.
I've got three.
You got three as well, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kim gets a bonus of 10,000 for the answer of her mum for the MC.
Yes! that gives me something.
But you've got to give them to Gary. Yes. And then by the time we finish this, he'll still probably beat his score.
Yeah.
he should get minus points. Just saying. All right. We don't have any news this week. By the way, Mark, well done on the quiz. I like the new format of the private answers to you.
Yeah.
Of guess the actual without clue and then get the clue.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I knew that's how I wanted to do it, but it's just the mechanics of it, and I wasn't sure if it'd work, but it did work. It worked well. So
Worked great.
Yeah.
By the way, don't blame me for not having the quiz. Just saying. I was being nice to you.
Yeah.
All right. But we don't have news, per se. So there just wasn't anything going on this past week, guys. The video game industry is launching out all their new games. Wasn't a whole lot to talk about. But we thought, you know what? Let's just talk about kind of the upcoming, you know, last part of the year and what games we're looking forward to. Now, obviously, there's Gears 5. There's some big hitters coming out in September, early part of September for sure, or just having come out, like Blair Witch, that kind of thing. But what games are we, you know, kind of excited for beyond that, you know, kind of round out the end of this year? So, Kim, why don't we start with you?
Okay. This is kind of hard, you know, because there's not much coming out in the last 3 months. But
well, I thought we were going to include September as well.
We can include September,
The rest of this year, really.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you're going to throw in September, the list just got a whole hell of a lot bigger. So, because everything is coming out in September, so I mean, it's a great thing. So,
I mean, Gears 5, yeah, we get it. Gears 5. We don't
Borderlands 3, you know.
Borderlands 3. Those are some obvious ones, but let's talk about Greedfall. What is Greedfall?
Greedfall is an RPG. I don't know exactly everything, but from the looks of it, it's a little like Black Flag, and it's a little like Fable, it looks like to me.
Yeah.
And if I'm perfectly honest, I'm actually looking more forward to it than I am Borderlands 3. I mean, Borderlands 3 looks great and all, but this is, like, up my alley, big time.
Yeah.
Because this is original, not just a rehash like Borderlands 3 is. Like Gears, well, 4, like Gears 5 is. And
I'm not going down that road. I'm not getting that hate started.
No, but I think to Kim's point about a game that's geared for Kim, the developers in interviews said that they really wanted to make a very kind of BioWare, in the traditional BioWare format game. So that's what Greedfall is. It's got the choices. It's got the, you know, the romance options, but it's choices that matter that impact the story. And then you've got character progression, you know, all of the RPG elements that BioWare was bringing to the table with Mass Effect in the first three.
Yep.
So BioWare making this? Because it looks very Dragon Age.
From Spiders?
All right. Because it does remind me of Dragon Age, just for combat.
And it's, it's something about you have to go find a cure for a plague, I think, if I read that right. So you're kind of being a little diplomat. You're going from place to place trying to find this cure, I think. And I don't know, like I said, I've read up on it, but I'm still kind of fuzzy on the details. But it looks really good.
Yeah, it does.
And like I said, it's an RPG, and it's like Fable and Dragon Age and all those. And, you know, that's my jam. So
yeah,
I thought
I'm
kind of
torn right now.
Yeah, I thought it was more a pirate game, but it was a lot of like magic and stuff on that end. So yeah, it looks quite good. I didn't realize this was out this year as well.
Yeah, so I'm trying to. I have to figure out. You know, I have to get Borderlands for friends because I like playing Borderlands with friends. But I'm kind of torn. Going, okay, that's a $50 game. This is a $50 game, and I just bought Torchlight 3, and that was $20. So that's out. That's another one. It's not on the
list.
I'm
looking. Oh, you? Yes, I know you've been excited for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow. I think I can play it tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow or Wednesday? I can't remember right off the top of my head. No, today's only Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Today is technically Sunday.
Freaking weekends got me all sort of flabbergasted. But anyway, yeah, Torchlight 2 is out, so I've got it. So yeah, September's a big month. Thank God Gears 5 is coming out on Game Pass, and I don't actually have to buy it. Because I'm going to be a broke woman.
Yeah. No. So what I'll do is I'm going to go through everybody's list, and we'll just pick games that are kind of next up on the list. So looking at Pete's Contra Rogue Corps. Pete, what about this has you excited?
But I'm a massive Contra fan. Well, in the UK, it was Super Probotector. We played Blazing Chrome recently, me and Mike, and we streamed that on the OC on the OC podcast stream, and we loved it as kids. Always been big fans, and it's going to be something that I'm gonna pick up, and it could be absolute trash, but it's very similar to Valfaris, and Valfaris is something that we've seen last year at EGX, I think it was. I'm trying to cast my mind back. I think it was at EGX last year. And Valfaris is exactly like Contra. It was just the same type of thing. Robotic characters, platform, shoot 'em up. Yeah, scrolling along and just shooting stuff up. And it was very much... it was very much our game when we were kids. So I've been. It was rumored. I think Valfaris was supposed to be released in April of this year, and it's just gone on and on and on. And it's not been given an actual date, I don't think, yet. I'll have to have another look. I've not seen it pop out anywhere. So yeah, those two games definitely.
Okay, and then Mark, leading our list, both Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about that. What's got you excited for that game?
Well, I wasn't that excited, to be honest. I thought it'd just be another Wildlands. I'd played that much of Wildlands recently. I thought, can't be asked. But having played the alpha technical test, I got a bit hooked because... Similar to what they did with Assassin's Creed, they've RPG'd the hell out of it. So there's all this more in-depth RPG elements to the Ghost Recon world now. So you can find different bits of armor, you can level up individual bits of armor, your weapons, your attachments. And the demo was, well, not that, the technical test was completely blew me away. Wasn't what I expected. And it just seemed really deep, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of depth to the game, a lot of technical aspects, tactical aspects of taking over a compound or completing a mission. It isn't as much run and gun as the current Ghost Recon game. So, yes, Sarah, if I get this, it will be a joint purchase with Greg on the Xbox. Unfortunately, I won't be getting it on PS4.
It looks like you're being chased by Darth Vader, I'm just saying.
I'd run from Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. True.
Yeah. But yeah, because there's not many games I'm that excited for this year, to be honest. And this is one of them. One of the two what I'm interested in, because I've got that many backlogs. The rest of them can wait, if I'm honest.
Yeah. A game that's on my list that I had actually totally forgotten was coming out is Biomutant.
I thought this was next year.
I believe it's supposed to still be this year. It might be pushed now to 2020, but it was supposed to be 2019. I'm still not entirely sure what this game is going to be at the end of the day. So it had kind of a similar vibe to Mutant Year Zero.
Yeah,
in you have these creatures that are kind of cross-pollinated, very humanoid. We'll see. I don't know. It
looks interesting.
The trailer and the bit of gameplay elements to it. It does look really neat, does this? It does look interesting.
Yeah, we'll see if it actually holds form or not. But Kim, Medieval. What about Medieval has you excited?
Well, if you remember Medieval, it came out. Oh Jesus! When the PS1 when the PS1 came out. And they're doing a remaster. And I remember this game because we had a little demo disc, and it was one of the demos on this disc. And I don't know, I think it was like the first level or something. And I remember playing it way back then, but I never actually bought the game to play it. But It's a quirky little. I mean, you're a skeleton, and you come back to fight. I don't know if it's zombies. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, you like pull your arm off and throw it at the zombies and kill them. And it's just a quirky little game. And it's, I don't know, like nostalgia, I guess you could say. And if it's not too damned expensive, I might, for nostalgia purposes, you know, get it and actually play it and, you know, finish it. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Is this a complete remake or is it just a reboot like the recent Spyro games?
No, I think it's an actual remaster.
Right.
I
okay. think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. Indeed, Jumanji, the video game. Pete, are you friggin' serious?
come on! Listen, right? Okay. All right. Let me name these people and tell me if you like them or not.
Barbie's Horse Adventure 2 on your list?
Come on, listen.
Oh, come on.
Jumanji's a classic movie. That okay? Robin Williams was just phenomenal in that movie.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't take it away.
They from did that. Not need to remake, and yet they did.
No, but it was good.
The remake was not good. It was okay.
But that's the same as good. It give a different spin of Jumanji, and it put it into a more recent time where they involve video games.
Yeah,
and. That's why I had to mention it as well on this podcast. And okay, who does not like The Rock? Exactly. Mm. Who does not like Jack Black?
Karen.
Who does not Gillen. Like Kevin Hart? Exactly. Mm. Right. So all of these characters feature in this film, and they feature in this game,
who
which is based
not,
on their
right,
characters.
There's a movie tie-in video.
Yeah,
games.
Me. Yeah. Now. I have to admit, I'm with Greg on this. The movies, yeah, they're quirky, they're fun, they're a bit of humour, but the video game looks so generic and boring.
Oh, but you do. I've just got to give it a go.
All right. No, I mean, look, this is your game to be excited about. I'm not. I'm
going to drop this at the end of the year and say, yeah, this is my game of the year.
I'm going to fly over to England to punch you.
But listen, you were scared about 30 minutes ago talking about Gears Pop being great.
I didn't say great.
Okay, what did you say then? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
Don't piss off the ginger.
I know. I don't want to piss off the beard. It might come back. all right, Jumanji the video game up for game of the year. Kim, also my... puzzling, questionable look to you, Ghostbusters Remaster.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, it was on the 360, they had a Ghostbusters game, and it was voiced by the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I completed it. Yeah, it was quite good.
Yeah, they're doing a remaster of it.
Yeah.
So, and I...
A movie remake into a video game, Mark. Interesting. Okay.
But it was good, and I've got actually still got the 360, but I don't think it's backwards compatible, and it might be. I'm not sure. I'd have to look. But anyway, yeah, I like the Ghostbusters. I didn't, even though I had Chris Hemsworth in it, I didn't really like the new Ghostbusters all that well. I don't know.
There's
maybe
a reason for that.
Well, yeah. And I mean,
didn't need to be made, just like the remake of Jumanji.
I like Bill Murray and you know, Dan Aykroyd and all that. I like the original Ghostbusters, so, yeah.
I've not seen the remake.
You're not missing out.
Mm-hmm. That's
and like you said, it's like the end of the year, so it was kind of tough scrounging the list to find games I was excited for, but this is one of them, so.
Okay. To each their own. I'm still looking out for Rambo, the remake. all right.
Space Invaders remastered.
Let's see. Mark. Yeah. Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Do you have faith that this is going to be good?
Yeah, because it's Respawn, and I love... the Titanfall games. I've not played it, but I've seen and I'm impressed with Apex Legends. And I know Respawn will do it proud.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the only other game I am willing to purchase this year because money's tight this year. So Ghost Recon and this are my two purchases this year. And I am quite excited for this because I love Star Wars. I've repeated myself a few times.
Is
and
that Kim a movie, Mark?
No, it isn't. It is an independent story made just for this game. It may be off a movie franchise
But snap, snap, snap. Take that.
Oh, yeah. Boy, here we go.
Based on a movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
If you're not careful, Pete, I'll be doing a close-up of your nostrils next.
Just leave my nostrils out of it, please.
So, anyone else interested in this?
I by de facto, apparently, I've just spent money on this game. I didn't even know it.
Yeah, yeah, you have to go halves on this, Craig. Please.
Yeah. No, I am interested in this game. I mean, cautiously interested, right? Because EA right now has been on a weird roller coaster. Respawn seems to be turning the ship for them a little bit, or turning the narrative that they can, you know, have studios that make good games. We'll see. We shall see.
So Game Pass, then, wouldn't EA release this on day one or around the time that it was due for release? No.
I can't see EA doing that. EA will probably do incentives on EA Access, and then it'll eventually come to EA Access, but they won't.
Yeah, it'll come to EA Access.
They've got their own thing, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The last game, well, actually, Pete, real quickly, Life is Strange 2, Episode 5.
Yeah, I've played one episode of Life is Strange 2, and I've left the rest on purpose because it's an episodic game, and I played number one, and I thought it was a fantastic graphic adventure video game. I loved it. I thought it was just brilliant. I thought it was well put together. I enjoyed the story, and I thought I'll play number two, and purely because I had to wait again, like Walking Dead, for the episodes to come, I thought, do you know what? I'll just leave this until it all comes out. And the last episode is due, I believe, in December. Yeah. So you know, I'm waiting until it all comes out. I'll just buy the package then and play it all throughout because it's a great story. I just didn't want to get to that point where I'm waiting again, right. And I forget the story and I have to play it back or look at YouTube for some recaps. I just didn't want to do that. So I'm looking forward to it. It's if you've not played both of these games, you really do need to. And there's also Before the Storm, which is available on Game Pass, which I've not played yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. The episodic stuff I prefer to play one after another. I hate having to wait.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than having to wait a few months.
A month, yeah.
Or in some cases, like a year.
I remember.
Depending upon what happened.
I don't know, Kim was in the same boat. Waiting for that last episode of The Wolf Among Us was torture.
Oh my God, yes.
Absolute torture.
It's torture waiting for a Game of Thrones episode for a week.
A week's a week. This was months, wasn't it, Kim?
Exactly. Yeah, if you play a decent video game and you're really enwrapped in the story, you don't want to wait that long for it. So you best just wait for it all just to be released and then just give it all of your love in extent.
Interestingly enough, you guys actually did make me think about, there was one story worth talking about, and that is Telltale getting revived.
Oh, yeah.
We did skip over this. It was kind of a rumor. I don't know if it's been officially confirmed, but I think it has been. But that basically some former Telltale employees have basically been able to kind of put together a studio. I think they have purchased the rights to The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, they have the rights to it and another one, Batman.
So the latest Walking Dead, when Telltale went tits up, Skydance sort of like paid for the finish of that. Have Skydance got anything to do with this new sort of like revitalization of Telltale?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I briefly saw it on Twitter, and then I didn't see any more mentions of it. But the gist is that Telltale is not "quote unquote" dead. That there's going to be, you know, a revival of the studio, and in particular, Wolf Among Us is going to be kind of a center point for that revival.
Hardly done in the chat has put that they're not actually getting revived. There's two guys who have bought the rights from the failed company. And they didn't actually work for Telltale Games. So.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, hopefully. They put together a team to carry that IP on.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there some rumor then that they're in talks with somebody else to get these games revived? Or There's something, yeah. I've seen it too. It was on Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, the last game to be excited about, based off of our list from what we're excited about, is The Outer Worlds. The more I see of this game, the more I'm excited. They just released a fairly lengthy trailer.
Yeah.
That just talks about kind of the vastness of The Outer Worlds. And it is very Fallout, you know, Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas in some of its look and feel.
But on different planets.
Right, with space exploration and just kind of that sci-fi space-faring vibe to it. I cannot wait for this game. I think this potentially sneaks in as Game of the Year in a lot of, you know, for a lot of people,
so,
based on just the positive vibes it's getting.
Given Bethesda's, let's say, issues with Fallout 76. I know this is Obsidian who are making this.
Right.
But Bethesda's sort of like green-lighted it and they're publishing it. Do you think this is going to have similar issues, or do you think because it's an Obsidian game, it's going to sort of like put Bethesda back on the map with gamers?
Well, this is going to put Bethesda on the map. This actually is a Microsoft property now.
Oh, right. So this is not Bethesda anymore.
Yeah, no, this is going to come to Game Pass.
This was originally shown at Bethesda's E3, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't know where it was originally shown, but Obsidian...
Oh, of course, Obsidian have been bought out of the...
Obsidian's been bought up by Microsoft. Right. So this right now is going to be multi-platform. They did say that this game, they would continue to make it multi-platform. Any sequel to this, which it already sounds like they're very much going to make a sequel, will be exclusive to the Xbox platform, whatever that becomes.
I'm getting mixed up. The Bethesda one, is that something like Starfield? Something like that?
Starfield, yeah.
I'm getting mixed up. Yeah, sorry, my mistake.
But I do think the failures of Bethesda with Fallout 76, and I say failures, I mean, I think it has still a decent fan base that are playing through it, but the issues that they have had recently with the RPG side of it, I think really opens the door for this game to be very successful, because this game is harkening back to the Fallout New Vegas RPG single-player story-driven narrative that so many people wanted in a new Fallout game. And Fallout 76, of course, was not that at all. It was a multiplayer online massive world kind of game. So I think there's a window here for them to come in and really kind of recapture that market, so to speak. We'll see. We shall see.
So it's interesting you're saying it's a Microsoft thing, because on YouTube was announcement trailers for PS4, but that was probably before Obsidian was purchased.
This game was in the works.
Mm.
So just like Microsoft did with...
Yeah, I know what you mean. The guys who did Senua's, they're doing that Bleeding Edge or something like that.
Well, Bleeding Edge is going to be, I think, Microsoft only. But basically, Microsoft, on several games for the studios that they have purchased, the games that they are creating that they already had in the works with publishing deals with other companies, or they were already making it multi-platform, and it had been announced as multi-platform, Microsoft's basically saying it will stay multi-platform and it will launch out to everybody. So that's where, you know, The Outer Worlds is going to be going to everything. Same thing with Wasteland 3. I believe that is going to be on multiple platforms. It's not going to be just an Xbox exclusive game. So they're honoring those deals.
All right, okay, cool.
And in similar fashion, by the way, just speaking of Sony buying Insomniac from back in Gamescom, Insomniac is developing an Oculus Rift VR title that's exclusive to the Oculus Rift that's still coming out. Still going to get developed and pushed out by them for that platform. And then, of course, everything they do after that would likely be Sony exclusive. So, I think it's important these companies, when they do purchase these studios, if they have games they've announced that are multi-platform, they do honor that, because the gamers themselves end up getting hurt by something like that.
Yeah. It's even coming out on Switch as well, Outer Worlds.
Yep.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thought here also is, hey, we make this title, it's hugely successful, and then the next iteration is going to be exclusive to certain platforms. And so you're kind of forcing the hand of, you know, the consumer that maybe likes it, they're going to have to pick and choose. But that's me speculating. Mm. All right.
Talking about Oculus.
Yes.
I'm really hoping for my 40th birthday that I get enough money to purchase one of these. I'm going to buy a Quest, I think. An Oculus Quest. I'm really...
I still have no desire.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
You'd be listening to Stu too much.
No. I do like Beats.
I like the idea of it being wireless and not hooked up with a million wires, but...
Yeah. Do you know what sold it as well? The table tennis. Like, right. I love table tennis.
Right.
I love it. Like Mike likes snooker. That's how much I like table tennis. And I'm all up for that.
The Oculus Quest, that is the one that is completely self-contained.
Yeah.
So technically, it's not going to be able to run everything.
It has to have its own version because you get it off its own internal store online sort of thing.
But VR porn should be just fine.
Yeah. But apparently...
I'm not bothered about VR porn.
They are hackable, though.
I was like, it's that VR porn you want to look at. No, it's not. I want to play table tennis.
Right. Yeah, we'll see.
For sure.
All right, let us move on. Kim, we have a release calendar September 1st through the 8th. Let's talk about games coming up. Let's start wrapping this show up a little here.
All right, yeah, because we're, you know.
Apparently, chatty. I said it was going to be a short show. I completely lied. Right?
All righty. Yes, your new releases for September 1st through the 8th are Catherine Full Body for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One on September 3rd. Warsaw, play it for the PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on the 4th. River City Girls for the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 5th. Creature in the Well, for some other reason I thought that was a creator. Ha! Creature in the Well for the Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 6th. Monster Hunter World Iceborne for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC also on the 6th. And NBA 2K20 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC also on the 6th. And Torchlight's coming out tomorrow or Tuesday. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. And early access for Gears 5. Just saying.
Yep.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Ultimate Edition comes out earlier, doesn't it?
6. Yes.
Is it?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. The 6th.
I can't make the 6th. I'm gutted. I'm doing something on the 6th. But, yeah. Oh, no. Just thought Saturday. No, I've got the kids on Saturday. It's going to have to be Sunday. I'm playing it all day Sunday.
Stick them in the closet. Yes. All right. Mark, Trials Rising.
Yep.
Still going.
Yeah, still going. We've not many tracks left now, but yeah, we're still going. So we've just completed challenge number 25, which is A Pretty Good Wall was a track name. And here are the top 10. In 10th place, they were all in the pub, so no one in that position. In 9th place... Martin C. 1984 with 117.464. 8th place, The Legit Chinny, 116.743. 7th place, GamerGirl27, 116.227. In 6th place was me with 115.827. 5th place, Chubston999, 115.548. In 4th place, Murphy's Law with 111.884. Bit of a drop there. In third place is Snoogans the Ninja with 111.066. Second place is Womble with 109.081. And this week's top spot goes to Play and Skills, Lewis Raimondo, 108.357. Cracking time. So well done to Lewis.
Overachiever.
Yeah. Lewis has been crushing it this week.
Yeah.
Well, the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Kim. You were so close to beating Mark.
Yeah.
I know. And I was fourth for a while.
I had a go at first, and you had me beat, and even Pete had beat me, and I thought, I'm just going to race a couple more against Pete's ghost, and I managed to beat him, and I coincidentally beat you as well, Kim. So, yeah, tough.
Right. I didn't even play it this week.
You must have played it beforehand, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the same for Martin as well, because his time looks like a quick run-through time.
Agreed.
Yeah, but you snooze, you lose.
His loss, my gain.
Yeah, you snooze, you lose. So, challenge number 26 is on Siberian Express. And that's using the Rhino bike. I've not even seen this yet. I've not put
this
time
is a
on
tough
this.
Track.
Is it?
This is hard, yeah.
And there's only four tracks left on this now.
All right. Get to it, people. Siberian Express.
Right, so sadly, I'm retiring the Resogon challenge because for two reasons. One, the weekly challenges in built into that game, some of them were insanely hard and it was putting a lot of people off. And it was getting to the point where there was only like one or two people putting scores in each week. And that was usually Tuscan, who was like getting millions and millions of points and someone else would get a couple of thousand. So I think we'll retire that off now because it's quite an old game as well. So what I've decided to just test the waters with, last month's, and I'm saying last month's, like it was only from yesterday, wasn't it? August PS Plus game was Wipeout Omega with all the Wipeout games. So I'm going to do some challenges on there. So the first challenge is Game Mode Wipeout HD. And it's in time trial mode, and the track is Vineta K, and the speed class is Venom. I'll put all this on the Facebook group and in the WhatsApp chat, because it's a lot to take in. But yeah, if you go into, in the game menu, if you go in race box option, you can select them items. The class of vehicle, there's different classes, and they all have pros and cons, so it doesn't matter which class of vehicle. As long as the speed class is the Venom, the actual make of the vehicle doesn't matter. And just put your fastest time on. I'll collect the scores at 7 p.m. as usual on Sunday evenings. And we'll see how that goes for a few weeks and see if we get any interest on that.
Cool. I'll have to try it.
Yeah, I've not really played much Wipeout, and I've played a bit today to test this out. I quite like it. It's quite a nice game. And the remastered visuals on this are really stunning. So, yeah, cool.
All right, excellent. Well, another game we're going to retire is the Golf Club 2019.
Aww.
Yeah, no, Gary DeFelice. Let's just talk about Mr. DeFelice. Mr. Oh, we need to have a golf club challenge. Yeah. I'll head it up. I'll do it all, blah, 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 blah. No, he's nowhere to be seen. He's too busy with all his fantasy football leagues. Not only fantasy football, but he also wants to do fantasy hockey. Oh, like Gary.
I mean,
no.
I don't think he misses his Garcast podcast, does he?
No, apparently not. Yeah. So the Golf Club Challenge is being officially put to rest. The society is still up. There are challenges and events still in there, so people can still play. But we're not going to track the Golf Club Challenge anymore. We'll just let it be what it is.
Oh,
and you know what? Screw you, Gary. Screw you. Screw you. All right. Pete,
victory achieved.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a contest that we run and give cash for. How about that? So you can have $20 US, £15 UK. So it's a gift card on PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, or Steam. So the contest, this one, is running between the 1st of July and September the 30th. All you need to do is complete a video game. Once you've completed it and the credits roll up on the screen, you take a selfie with those credits and your beautiful face, and then all you need to do is send it onto Twitter, and you could send it to @OC_podcast with the hashtag of victory achieved, and that's pretty much it. It's as easy as that. Complete a video game, stick it on Twitter, and you can win some money. How's that sound?
It sounds lovely.
Of course it does. So, the two beautiful people that completed their games this week are Fletch, good old Dan, Fletch 90, and he completed Oxenfree. And then,
ooh, good game.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that game.
Caliburn M completed Fantasia. I've not heard of that game.
Was that one of the early Kinect games?
Yeah, I think, by the way, this is a situation of Robin did not update the Victor's Achieve, because I think this is from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the irony is right now I have a picture of Robin's face on my laptop because I'm getting streamed random pictures from my online albums. And there was a really ugly face, and that was Robin's. So, Robin failing us. Yeah.
It's Mark's fault, probably.
Yeah. It probably is Mark's fault, ultimately. It is Mark's fault.
AMF.
Yeah. But he has been there tweeting these, though, hasn't he? The victories achieved. I'm sure he has. I've seen them.
Why are you having a quick scan through that? Just Robin kept putting, like, it's been a bit of a running joke, like, everything's been my fault recently. And then Robin kept putting this hashtag AMF, and we're all thinking, what the hell's this? And I just replied, said, what does that mean, Robin? What does AMF stand for? And she said, all Mark's fault. And then he was sending videos of all his family members, one by one, and Robin would say to them, whose fault is it? And they'd all go, it's Mark's fault. So, yeah, well played, Robin.
Yep.
Sorry, well sweet corn.
Yeah, it's okay, Sweetcorn. It's okay.
That's
okay. Okay, so let's mention a couple then. Hang on, I've got a few. Yes. Let's
do Robin's job properly.
Okay.
Pete, when you were handling this,
it's all Robin's fault.
Yeah, when you were handling this when Robin was on vacation, it was all very smooth. I just want to say you did a fantastic job. And since Robin has come back into taking over. Again, Mark's fault, but it seems like the quality is dropped off. I don't know how Mark has influenced this, but somehow, clearly, Mark, your fault for doing this.
And now he's buttering up the ginger, so.
You never want to butter up the ginger. You don't know what you're going to get out of that. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's a dicey proposition.
Yeah. People need butter when it comes to ginger. Right, so John Mouse completed Prototype 2. Sent a beautiful action-packed photo of himself, and there was one more, Cannonburn M. With the right person, but he completed Mutant Year Zero.
Ooh, like I did. Oh, well done. Yeah, excellent. Great game. Yeah.
By the way, Sarah RC GC also said she should have a victory achieved for Wolfenstein. Oh, sorry, that's for next week.
She's going to finish
Sarah,
for next
don't
week.
Confuse me. I'm easily confused. You're killing me. You're killing me.
It's Mark's fault.
It's Mark's fault.
For those people that completed those games, you have this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have a victory's achieved.
Look at that.
All right.
Couldn't have done that any better.
Well done. Well done. Well timed. Mark, you're making up for the sloppy, sloppy show.
Yeah.
All right. We are at that time. We are going to wrap this show up because we have talked way far longer than I ever thought we were going to talk today.
For being a short show.
Yeah, I know. A short show. Oh, well. Anyway, be part of the conversation. Join us on Twitch, on Mixer, on YouTube. All you got to do a search for OC Podcast. Super simple. You will find us. And then you can join us for an evening dessert or dinner, or supper, I guess is what you call it in the UK, at 9 p.m. You can join us for lunch on the West Coast at 1 p.m. You can hang out for happy hour on the East Coast at 4 p.m. Or late happy hour on Easter Island, 6 p.m. Or for coffee and donuts at 7 a.m. in Australia. So there you go.
Ooh.
Yeah. iTunes, Twitch, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those different things where you can download a podcast, we're there. Download the podcast, do it while you're at the gym. There's no better thing than being at the gym and feeling like you're dying and then hearing Mark in your ears just pushing you on just that much further. So that's what I have to say to that. And Mark, we should play that audio clip right now of Nicole, who, by the way, doing better. She's got her voice back, and she sounds just like this.
Fuck off.
That one. Oh, you mean this one?
You like
that's
us.
Exactly what
we
she
like you.
Matter of fact.
See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Tomorrow!
I can do that on command.
Tomorrow!
All right, here we go. We're going to wrap this up. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We really do appreciate you guys being part of our community, our family. That's what this is all about. Kim, why don't you start off with some shout-outs? Maybe give some of the the chat, or the chat, as we affectionately call them, some love.
That was my plan. Yes, we've had a few shatters today. Let's see. On my list are Scott Stubby, Hardly Dan, RCGC, Commander Root, Lurks, S1 Fega, Cycle Motion, Host Me Ravel, might be a bot. Unix Chat, also might be a bot. Mirage underscore Leonardo 84, Community Showcase, Dunas BH, I guess. Electrical Longboard, VNK, Virgo Pros, and Zane Kyber. So thanks for coming along and chatting in the chat. So
chatting in the chat. Chat.
Okay. This show's going down a little big time.
Chat chatters.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. Shout out to you guys. It's always fun. I wasn't on here last weekend, and it felt kind of strange not to be on here. So I'm back. Not nearly as gone as long as Mark, no. But yeah, whatever. Other than that, here's to hopefully a good week and a better month. Let's hope. So yeah, how about you there, Ginger?
It's just where I fuck it up. I always get told off about like the end of it and not passing it on, and I'll probably do it every single week now on purpose, just to be a pain in the ass. So well, I've got three people to shout out. Hardly Dan. The more Hardly Dan is talking in the chat, the more I really need to meet this person. It's been talking some great stuff in the chat, and I want to play your Oculus Quest. Please bring it to EGX. He did say that he was going to bring it along, so that's ace. And just to let you know as well, Dan, that I've fired up Blair Witch myself tonight, just to start off with, and I'll probably talk about that next week if Greg lets me on.
I will, and I also will be talking about that next week. So
there we go. Okay, the next person I want to shout out is my stepdaughter, Kira. She's painted this. Check this out. Look, you might.
Oh,
this.
Nice.
You see it? Yes. She's painted it on a. Oh shit! There's like a blurred background in there. Oh my god. Right. Let's just take this off. Right, unblur my background. Here we go.
There you go.
That's cool.
It's almost nice. Like a Mario cereal box cover. It's perfect.
It's wicked, good. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good. Oil painting, straight on canvas. It's textured as well. The little bushes on the side. It's you can feel it.
That needs to be pried in place on your gaming wall, Pete.
That is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it.
That is nice.
Yeah, share it to Key. Thanks.
She's a good one. I love her. And the next one is to my brother. Bless him. Happy birthday, Mike. Thanks for inviting me to your little gathering. And
enough of that.
He's a great person. But yeah, enough of that.
Yeah, let's not go too far. He's a great person, Pasaf. I mean,
pass
you know,
on, Pete. Pass it on.
He's okay.
Pass it on.
Oh, hang on.
Me?
I forgot to do something. Oh, yeah.
Pass it on.
Greg, can you close the show?
Fuck.
I know.
I'm sorry.
So close.
It's Mark's fault. Quite steam there. Go on.
You can find me on all the gaming platforms and on Twitter as Mark Annex. I want to shout out Greg did an anti shout out to Gary early, but I want to shout him out for propers because he is once again going to captain the Extra Life team. Being a bit later this year setting it up, but it's not well Novemberish anyway. Yeah, watch out very soon for all of us begging for your donations for this year's Extra Life. I want to shout out all you guys and the whole podcast crew for letting me have so much time off without giving me too much stick. I've had a bit of stick. Everything's been my fault. But yeah, I just needed a little bit of time off. I've had a few issues. And thank you very much. And as Robin would say, you're my podcast family.
I'll just give you a bit of advice, Mark. Probably just I'd drop sweet corn from your diet.
I wasn't even here when that was brought up. I don't even know why I'm called sweet corn. I think you actually started it.
It was the ginger's fault, but it was fine.
It's okay, sweet corn. It's okay. We appreciate you being on the show. We appreciate you, you know.
Got Kim snorting really bad now. She's gone. I don't mind sweet corn. It's, well, going in, it's coming anyway. So shout out to everyone in the chat tonight. It's been very busy in the chat. Hadley Dan's been giving a lot of input, and Sarah and that. So yeah, thank you very much, guys, and I'll let you take us out, Greg.
All right. First of all, Pete, you're going to be sadly disappointed because Hardly Dan has informed us that he does not have a Oculus Quest. He just has an Oculus Rift. So apparently, you're no longer interested in playing with that.
I know he's got a powerful gaming PC. He's got a powerful gaming laptop, so he'll probably, rather than having to lug a massive desktop around with you just to use the Oculus, he'll probably better use it on his laptop, I'd have thought.
Alright, so Pete, here's the deal. To give you the simulated experience of the Quest, we will duct tape the laptop to your back, we will plug you into the Oculus Rift, and let you walk around mindlessly.
Wow.
Yeah. Here for you. Yeah. And again, sweet corn, don't worry. We've got your back. We are here for you every day of the week. Yeah. And then an extra one. Kim, as always, fun to podcast with you. Thank you for being the wonderful woman that you are and being just dealing with us. Shout out to all of our chatters. Of course, we thank everybody there. I feel like I should be giving Robin a lot of grief right now, but I mean, I feel like it's too obvious. Everybody has already said how great the show sounds right now, and I think we are coming around to the realization that Robin's dodgy internet fix, where he was trying to circumvent paying for internet access, I think it's not exactly working the way he thought it would.
That it's better than what I had before, though.
It's not perfect. Yeah, it's definitely not perfect, and possibly this could be because Sun's surfing late night material. Just saying. And
it's probably done me a favor him not being on tonight, because I would have had a lot more "it's my fault" stick tonight, because Robin's the big instigator of all that. So.
Fair enough. It is your fault, though. all right. In fact, it's your fault because he couldn't be here. That's a proven fact.
Yeah, I gave his family all the shits and the pukes.
No, they've got the plague.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you assume that's anthrax over.
Dear United Kingdom, if, in fact, the plague does outbreak, it is Mark's fault because Robin did it.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. We are done. Let's wrap this up. Mark, play that funky music right about now.
If I can find it. It's been that long. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.